What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, August 27th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Donut County's own Ben Esposito. How are you, Ben?
Ah, hey, doing good.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me so much.
It's not exciting. Like it's a busy week for you at all, right?
No, I actually welcome the distraction.
You welcome the distraction?
I'd just be on my computer, like, refreshing, seeing if anyone's talking about the game.
Earlier today, I hit up the Twitter folks and said, hey, Ben from Donut County's coming on. He made this game. What questions did he have? The first one came from Brian McBrien, who wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what the fuck is Donut County? It looks like I need it ASAP. We put up a little video, a little gif of it. Raccoon running around. What is Donut County in a nutshell? We have a whole bunch of questions for you later on.
Yes. No. So Donut County is a game. It's like a physics game where you play as a hole in the ground. So you start super small, you put stuff into it, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so you're destroying this place called Donut County.
Oh, okay. Number two games journalist, Joey Noel from kindoffunny.com on the shock mic. Cool, Greg. You've played through Donut County. Have you beaten it?
I have.
You finished it?
I did.
That's so exciting.
What did you think of it? How is it?
I loved it. It was so fun. As soon, like, when I first heard about it and saw everything coming up for it, I knew that I wanted to play it. I really like the art style. The raccoon is so cute. The raccoon's very sassy, which I appreciate.
So that
was on my radar for a long time. And then, I played through it like the night that I got it.
Okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
I really liked it. Going through, getting all those trophies.
There's a platinum in it. We have a question about that later. So don't spoil.
Oh, we can talk about
That's the one
trophies.
Thing we like to do around here is talk about that. To put a pin in the Donut County discussion, IGN's review ended like this. It may be a short diversion, but Donut County is a delight. It's absolutely brimming with personality, has a killer soundtrack and visual aesthetic, and is based on an irresistible gameplay hook. I'd have loved more, but I guess I'll just have to settle for playing through it again. It's a good job.
I'll take
some good stuff there. We're going to talk about your career. We're going to talk about that all later. But this, of course, is Kinda Funny Games Daily. If you didn't know, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD, where you can put in your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames or listen or watch later. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames and podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Human Fall Flat is sponsoring this week's party mode to promote their new multiplayer mode that's coming to consoles. So you can check it out Wednesday on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. Then we're playing Human Fall Flat at the Kinda Funny Intersight Championship Saturday at PAX. Come see it. Speaking of PAX, it's this week and we're all over it. Greg, Jared, Andrea, and more than 20 of your favorite video game personalities are squaring off in the Kinda Funny Intersight Championship Saturday at 7 p.m. in the Hydra Theater. Then Greg, Jared, Corey Barlog, and more are talking about the perfect Superman game Friday at 3 p.m. in the Wyvern Theater. And then Andrea and the What's Good Games girls take the stage. That is Hydra at 10 a.m. Sunday. Plus, we're brought to you by Hims, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Rope Report. Time for some news. Four items today.
A baker's dozen indeed,
cool Greg. Number one, extremely sad. It's about the Madden shooting. I'm sure a lot of you already know about this Jacksonville, Florida shooting that happened at the Madden tournament. I'm going to read from CNN's article by Amanda Watts, focusing a little bit more on the aftermath. I'm sure you've heard the story itself. One of the men shot and killed at a gaming tournament in Jacksonville, Florida on Sunday had won the national tournament, the Madden Classic, 2 years ago. The other was a former high school football player who loved to play the online version of his favorite sport and had won $51,000 in his short gaming career. They both died in the shooting at the GLHF Game Bar Sunday, where they were attending a tournament for competitive players of the football video game Madden. The winners would go on to higher level tournament play in Las Vegas in October, where large cash prizes could be won. Nine of the other people suffered gunshot wounds, and two people were injured fleeing the area, the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office said. The gunman then turned the weapon on himself. While the Sheriff's Office has not identified the two that were killed, their names have been widely reported on social media by people who were at the bar, members of the gaming community, and others. One of the victims, Taylor Spot Me Please Robertson, was identified by his gaming sponsor, Dot City Gaming. Quote, "We are shocked and deeply saddened by the senseless violence in Jacksonville and the tragic deaths of Dot City Gaming team member Taylor Spot Me Please Robertson and Eli True Clayton," the first sponsor said in a two-part tweet. They were great competitors and well-loved members of the Madden community. Our thoughts and deepest sympathies go out to their families, loved ones, and all those affected by this tragedy. According to his player profile in EA Sports, Robertson was from Ballard, West Virginia. He was 27 years old, had a career winnings of more than $80,000, and had won the Madden NFL 17 Classic. Sunday's tournament was a qualifying round for the Madden NFL 19 Classic. The other victim, Eli True Boy Clayton, a former high school football player, was identified by the Calabasas High School football team in California. Quote, "Our hearts are broken as we learned that former Calabasas football player True 818, Elijah Clayton, was senselessly murdered today during the mass shooting in Florida. We send our love, condolences, and deepest sense of sorrow to Elijah's family and friends," the team tweeted. Clayton, 22, was from Woodland Hills, California. He also went by True, according to his EA Sports player profile. True is consistently one of the best in competitive Madden, his biography on the profile page said. Gunman David Katz, a 24-year-old gamer from Baltimore, Maryland, was in Jacksonville for the tournament. He used at least one handgun in the shooting, Jacksonville Sheriff Mike Williams said. Police have not released a possible motive.
That's heavy.
Incredibly heavy. You know what I mean? It wasn't too long ago on this show, Ben, I said I missed the days of just being able to say if a game was good or bad.
Ooh.
And I feel like we keep getting away from that. You know what I mean?
Yes, we stray further.
Reality continues to intrude on what gaming has been for us. You know what I mean? And
for real.
There's nothing we can possibly add to this. You know what I mean? Yesterday, it stopped me. Like, I'm sure it stopped so many people in our tracks of... For me, I was playing Spider-Man, and I got, you know, all two text messages, one from a family member and one from a peer, and the family member so concerned that I was there. You know what I mean?
Oh.
That they know I do video game stuff and
you're
I go to tournaments.
You're the type of person who could be there.
Exactly. And like that I'd be hosting or something like that, and I wasn't. And then the other person asking for, trying to figure out if any of their friends from EA were there and stuff to that effect.
Right. The aftermath where everyone's trying to
exactly.
see like the dust hasn't settled
exactly.
yet.
Exactly. And so then to dive on, you know, and see this and just see what a... horrible, senseless fucking tragedy this is, as usual. You know what I mean?
And it's another one.
I know, right? And that's the thing, too, of, you know, we're lucky at Kind of Funny enough to have a myriad of shows where, you mm-hmm. know, sure, this time it's touching gaming, so we're talking about it here, but it's something we've talked about on the Game Over Greggy show, on the Kind of Funny Morning show, on Twitter, on this, of just like, I mean, what the fuck can we do? You know what I mean? And there's no answer. There's no turnkey answer. There's
right.
a lot
yeah,
of answers, and there's a lot of different things out there, and there's a lot of... But just of like, it's on our doorstep now. You know
right.
what I mean?
It
the
keeps
way
happening
yeah.
and we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know what's next.
So I think, I mean, obviously I don't need to tell you everyone's heart is with Jacksonville now. Everybody's with this Madden community. Everybody who plays games can suddenly understand this in a way I think you couldn't before. You know,
right.
I'm always happy that my naivete, my inexperience, my learnings can be applied to other people, and I can talk about that and share that with people. And I remember for me, you know what I mean? I think reading this comic, Love is Love, it was a graphic mm-hmm. collection put out by DC Comics to support all the people from the Pulse shootings, to support
oh,
all
wow.
that stuff,
okay.
right? And there's such a disconnect, I feel, from, okay, there was a shooting at a nightclub mm-hmm. and I don't go to nightclubs and it's in Florida and that's such another,
right, there's so many factors,
such another
like...
world, that's so many degrees of separation. We're like, man, that sucks that there was a shooting, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
To read Love is Love and see these stories play out in front of you and the loss, the toll, mm-hmm. this sounds silly, I know, but there's one told from a dog's perspective that its owner, it's like a one page where the owner never comes home. And it's like, holy shit, I don't
oh,
even to think about
so
it in
heavy.
That lens. You know what I mean?
Right. Like
and,
the ripples that come out of like,
exactly. And this is such a story where anybody hearing this right now or watching this right now doesn't need to, you know, Twitch and you know, tournaments and you've been to
yeah.
somewhere where somebody's playing a video game and you've held the sticks. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah. And like Madden's not loaded. It's not like controversial.
Sure.
It's not political.
Exactly.
It's just like, whoa, this
well, I mean,
happen.
In the, well, that's the thing. Right. And I mean, this sounds horrible and obviously we're all just reeling on the spot as we deal with this, but like, I feel like it's so crazy that that's what we jump to. I was having conversations with people yesterday. I'm just like, Madden, that's a weird one to shoot up. And I'm like, no, that's not, it doesn't make sense to shoot up a school either. Like that,
right.
none of this makes sense. There's no, no A to B on why any of this fucking happens. It's because everything's fucked up.
Right, yeah.
That's
it's
how it feels, right?
So
of course
much more complicated.
It's a million things and it's mental health and it's gun violence and it's, there's, mm-hmm. we aren't, equipped Kind of Funny Games Daily to wrestle with that. Obviously, this was a hot topic for people writing into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. I want to turn it over there so you guys can have the floor. JD wrote in and said, "Hey, Greg and Tim, I forgot that you were on Friday and I didn't say Ben. It's Ben. Today is a sad day as the video game community that we love is stricken by a tragedy of a horrible mass shooting. I wanted to share my perspective and ask something of the Kind of Funny best friends. I come from Newtown, Connecticut. Just under 6 years ago, my town was similarly stricken by tragedy. 26 teachers and students lost their lives to senseless violence. To this day, people I know are attacked maliciously and are told their grief isn't real. I see the same thing happening in Parkland and Las Vegas, and anywhere there is tragedy, and it's infuriating. Now that our world of enthusiasts and gamers has been struck by a tragedy in a similar way, I was hoping you could pass my message along so that we can hopefully make the world a little brighter on behalf of the best friends. It doesn't matter whether you're left or right or whatever. Just please show solidarity and respect for those affected. Please show them that that we feel their hurt. Please have empathy and show them that they aren't alone. I'm sick of seeing that my grief and my town's grief is not real. Maybe we can fight some of that with some Kind of Funny magic." Of course, JD. Of course.
No, it's legit.
I wish everybody could understand that at the moment and go through it that way. Jericho writes in, of course, longtime contributor to the show. "The shooting at the Madden tournament was a disaster, and I think it's the first time we've seen this kind of thing happen during an esports event. These events are mostly crowded, and sooner or later this would happen as it did yesterday. My thoughts are with the family and friends of the two killed and the ones that were injured and the guy shooting who committed suicide after the incident. There were probably things that could have prevented this from happening, better security and whatever. However, I think that this is the best opportunity to tell best friends around the world that if you have a problem and don't see a way out, please contact someone you trust. There are many ways to help you, but a good conversation can do a lot. The community has open ears too. We're here for you." Jericho from Berlin, Germany. Another great point, of course. I think we've talked about it before, that you're not allowed to kill yourself. There's an infamous forum post from me up about that that's been spread around a million times, and I know it's helped some people. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing is, like, you're not allowed to kill yourself, and you're not allowed to kill other people. Like, and it sucks that you have to be told that, but I understand being in despair and being in a dark place and not being able to see a way out. But there's always another way out. This is never the answer. Killing yourself is never the answer, and I think it's something that needs to be said and isn't said enough. And I know, again, there's a million different things that get wrapped up in that in terms of being not in the right mental state. You know, how are you going to deal with this? And I understand that it's hard sometimes, I'm sure, to see the rational through the passionate. But
right.
I
think there's people who want to help.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's the one of the best things about the internet. Is yeah. that there's actually always someone on the other side.
Of course. Like, we always get caught up. We were talking about it earlier, right? Uh-huh. Of like the negative comment is what gets your attention. It's never the 90 positive things. It's the one negative thing.
It's the one little echo of bounces off the wall and just goes right into your ear. And it's like, nah, there's a lot of good there, man.
Yeah. And that's the big thing. You know, we try to be here and we call our audience best friends. You know what I mean? We try to spread this message of positivity. And that's the thing is that, yeah, there is help for you out there. And there are many avenues you can face and find to help it yourself. Morgan wants to put a pin in this one. He writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "With the recent news breaking this Sunday afternoon about a Madden tournament being a mass shooting, how do you guys keep safe? Do most of the conventions you go to have top security? What about the meetups? I love you guys dearly and would hate for something to happen to any of you. I hate that it's even a question."
Same.
That's the point. I hate that it's a question as well, Morgan. I hate that that's something you have to think about, but it is. And the not good answer for you, Morgan, is that convention security is lax most of the time.
Yeah.
Most of the time. It's incredibly, incredibly lax. This was E3's first year of bag checks. First year. First time I walked through a metal detector at E3.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Yeah.
And I think in the past we got away with it because, okay, it's an industry event. Okay, it's industry only for the most part.
You can
it's
make
not
an assumption.
Consumers. It's not public. And that's not to say that the public's filled with murders or something. It's just more, it's not likely that developer X has somebody who's going to come in with a, but it could have happened there too. And that's the problem is that this could happen anywhere, anytime. And this is back to it being senseless, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, this is, you only implement that security when you see that there is a possible threat, right? And so we have to keep seeing these things over and over again for like the security to go one notch higher and higher.
And I mean, like, what the, you know, the most not interesting, because that's a horrible way to put it. But in terms of a ripple grim effect from this immediately happening, I saw it in some of the initial coverage from, I think, Kotaku or Polygon, right? Is that this is basically on the eve of one of the biggest gaming conventions there is, PAX West.
Yeah.
PAX West kicks off Friday, right? And to my knowledge, and I look around the room, nobody, you go to PAX West, right?
Yeah, usually.
Is there, I don't remember at PAX West walking through a metal detector or having bag checks, do we?
I don't remember a metal detector. I might have gotten my bag checked at one point.
PAX East, I know, outside of the Boston Convention Center, I there's a snaking line. They go through your bag, you walk through the metal detector, right?
I could have been thinking of that.
And I think that might actually be because why? It's in Boston. There was the Boston bombing, right? Where suddenly their ears were up to that. And so then you get to this, and it's like, wow, what does PAX West look like this year? Is there, you have to jump on it. There's been plenty of scuttlebutt of people. First off, I've seen somebody wrote in, I didn't put it in the rundown, somebody well-known, I think esports athletes, like, I'm not going to conventions anymore, you know what I mean, like, just straight up dangerous. Like, nobody's looking out for us that way, and it's not and that's an understandable statement. And then there, I've definitely seen the ripples of people being like, well, this terrifies me for PAX. I think it's you know, it's interesting. Jericho wrote in, right? And he, you know, Jericho again, longtime contributor from Germany, right? But he said, the events are most crowded. These events are mostly crowded, and sooner or later this would happen as it did yesterday, right?
That's grim.
And like, that's something I've heard over and over and over again. And it's also the thing that it is, don't get me wrong, a problem in the United States, this mass shooting things. We can't we can't look at statistics and not admit that.
Right.
However, I also have I definitely, after, you know, you've seen so many terrorist attacks that are cars barreling into people, right? Like, I know that I've heard that same complaint from friends who are over, not, this is a couple of years ago, not I'm not up to, but about Gamescom, where it's this massive humanity trying to get in the doors, right? Before you get to a metal detector, somebody could walk up with an IED, somebody could walk up and blow everybody up, you know what I mean?
It's just as vulnerable,
and it's that thing of, and I'm not this isn't about everything, but it's the fact that we're sitting here going, well, this is gonna happen no matter what, right? And I've had that conversations that, yep, this is going to happen one day at a gaming event, probably, because it is. Right. You have an axe to grind, and there's a thing to do there, and you know, like,
and there's not that many factors stopping you from doing it if you really want to do it.
Exactly, and so it's all grim and it's all horrible, but it is, you know, worst case, you plan for the worst kind of thing, right?
Right. Yeah, and I think that that's why it warrants some more thinking about security, especially at big events like that.
Yeah.
But also, like, I don't know, those events, it's so devastating too, because those events are so full of love. Like, I love going to PAX because the difference between PAX and E3 is that everyone's excited to be at PAX. You know,
at E3 you're excited to finish the day and go to the bar,
right?
And go see, go to the party, and go see somebody else. I feel. It's always been that thing that if somebody wants to do something bad, they're going to do something bad.
Right.
And, you know, you bring up, Morgan brought up in his question, right? Like, how do you guys keep safe? Do most conventions have top security? No. What about meetups? Meetups are often, more than likely, hey, I'm in Battle Creek, Michigan. Thing. Who wants to meet me at Buffalo Wild Wings, right?
Right.
And, like, it's, on the one hand, I trust the audience, and I know the audience is great, and they're amazing. On the other hand, sure, there's people who aren't right in their head, right? And are angry or carrying a grudge, and I guess could do something like this. But then the other, this is the constant thing of, well, yeah, sure, you could, this shit can keep you and me and everybody up at night nonstop, and to the point where you don't leave your house.
Yeah, you could. The problem, it's
the normal thing that, you know, one of the many things getting argued yesterday is, of course, that crime is down, right? But mass shootings are coming up, and this different, and this weird. But it's it's this back and forth of, like, blah, 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 and it's like, we're saying mass shooting, and God, here I am. Like, what constitutes a mass shooting? You're right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I don't have the fucking answers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And there's nothing. You can say nothing in this situation that makes sense. Because my argument would be, I never worry about it when I go out to hang out with the best friends, because I'm going to hang out with the best friends. And I would always say that, like, I'm lucky enough to have the kind of celebrity, in quotes, I'm using quotes if you're an audio listener, that most people would want, right?
Sure,
where when I
get
recognized generally on the street, it's generally like, oh, hey, Greg, really like your work. And I'm like, oh, thanks, man. And I'm walking, pretending we just passed, and that's it.
That's the best form of recognition,
But, like, I can't act like, you know, it was Christina Grimey who got shot, that YouTube singer, you know what I mean? She wasn't, like, huge. She wasn't, like, the biggest thing going. It's just something that happened, and
And you make yourself vulnerable by going to meetups and like having people know about you, where your whereabouts are, and going to events and stuff. And it's like, on one hand, that is scary. But on the other hand, making yourself vulnerable to your audience is the reason why they like you in the first place.
Sure. Right? Yeah.
So it's you have to live with like two sides of that coin.
It's the, I guess, I don't know. There's so much to wrestle with this, and we're all doing it live, obviously. It's just the fact that I believe in the good of people. I believe in the good of the audience, and I believe in the good of humanity in the way that, yep, I mean, it wouldn't be hard to kill us in any way you wanted to any day of the week. Like, you know what I mean? That's not like,
it's horrible to think about.
Right?
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, it's not hard to figure out where the Kind of Funny studio is. We've never really hidden it. You look at the images of it. You see the comic shop beneath it. All right. You know where, you know what I mean? Like,
right. It's no problem.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I don't think that would happen to us. I don't think that will happen.
Right.
But then again, I'm sure the fucking two guys who were nice enough to go compete in a Madden competition didn't think that was going to happen. And that's the other fucking ball of wax to this is that I don't know. I wasn't there. Reports are still coming out and all these different things.
Right, we don't know anything really.
From everything I get out of GLHF, right, the bar they were at, everything, it seems like a fucking cool video game bar. Like, yeah, I don't think this wasn't, everybody's like, oh man, like they need up security at the PAX and all these different things. This was like similar to me being, let's all hang out at Wild Wings. Let's go do this. Like, it's like, I wouldn't expect, and it's fucking crazy to think that you have to walk through a metal detector at a Buffalo Wild Wings. You know what I mean? Like, what? And this is a weird non-sponsorship me demonizing Wild Wings. That's just the most recent place I've had a meet and greet. I don't know, man.
Purely neutral on the Wild Wings.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, no, that's, yeah. It's scary.
It is scary, but it's also that thing that, you know, it became a joke, obviously, a punchline, obviously. But after 9/11, right, where that's how the terrorists win, right? Of like, you do this stuff.
Right.
Yeah. But it was also true, right? Of like, no, fuck that. I'm not going to be afraid to go get on a plane. I'm not going to be afraid to go see other people. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? I'm not going to be afraid to leave my house. Because, yeah, like, yes, this could happen, but this could always happen.
Yeah,
it's
that's
just,
true.
It's just
we have to deal with the fact that it's more likely to happen now.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that's what terror is, right?
Exactly.
It's like, it stops you from doing things.
Yeah.
And that could be the point. It could have been some other reason. We don't actually know, but
yeah,
like,
I mean, from what it sounds like, again, I read the CNN thing because I like how it focused on the two people that got killed, right? Like that.
Because that's really sad.
From the other articles that I've seen and read and stuff like this, right? This guy participated in the tournament, the shooter. He had done well before. CNN in one of their things had an interview with him from his, not CNN, but like they'd pulled his interview from
really?
It. He's like,
there was just video
He's been in the gaming scene of this competitive thing. So I guess, you know what I mean? Like, that, you know, CNN doesn't speculate, neither does the sheriff yet on motives.
Right.
But you would assume that it was that, you know, that he lost in the tournament and then somebody talks shit to him or whatever. And it's just like, well, this isn't the way to escalate your fucking problems. You know what I mean? Or who knows what the reason is? There's no reasons justify this. Right. And that's the thing when you talk about this kind of shit is that there's no justification. I'm sure if somebody did attack me, they're not attacking me because they don't. Man, fuck, Greg gave Uncharted 3 a 10 once. Like, that's not why they're coming at me. That would be too A to B about an impossible situation. And so, yeah, I feel like there's no way to button it up. There's no way to stop. There's nothing to say. You know, yesterday I tweeted the CNN article and I just walked away because there's like, what can I do? Like, what
can you add?
There's nothing for me to add. There's no, you know, me saying that I'm grieving for these people as a community, as a human being, that everyone should know that. You should know that that's how we all feel, I assume.
Right. I mean, I think the thing is you just spread the information you need to spread and know more than that.
Yeah.
And just let it go.
Like, yeah.
Just I think, keep thinking
and like,
about it,
for us, right? I mean, us as a community, the Kind of Funny community, best friends. I think the best thing you do is spread positivity, right? You know, I mean, I saw the tweet from the guy who got shot in the thumb, who's just like, I'm never taking a day for granted and all that. And like, that's the way to live, man. That's the fucking way to live, brother.
Right.
Don't hold grudges. Don't do this. Be positive. Be nice. Tell the people you love them. Tell the people whose work you love that you love their work. All these different, like, celebrate positivity and be positive and make the world a better place because we, as a community lately, and I mean now as an internet video game community, I feel there's a lot. If you want to, we can just roll in the fucking shit every day of how horrible this is. And this person said that. And yeah, and it's just like, fuck that. Rise above it and just be cool. Just be cool. Yeah. And if somebody's not being cool, mute them and move on. Don't fight with them. Don't do it. Just be a better person.
We all have one day, right? With this 24 hours. And you can like be mad the entire time.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess that's the wrap up to this one, everybody. Be better to each other. Celebrate the positivity. Don't let fuckheads like this scare you. Go live your life because you got to. You only got one to do. Oh, ain't that right, Ben?
24 hours. That's
make
it,
make your video games. Go make your dreams a reality. What's the Shia LaBeouf quote? We don't have it. Let's move on because a dream did come true for a lot of people. Number two, Streets of Rage has come back. Yes, I know it's a weird transition, but we had to do it. It's a video game show.
There's no way to do
that. I just want
to
talk about toys, but here I am having to talk about real shit. This is from the official press release. Publisher Dotemu. I'm going to say Dotemu. How do you say it? It's French.
No, I like that.
Dotemu. Dotemu, parentheses, Wonder Boy and Windjammers, and developers Lizard Cube, parentheses, Wonder Boy, and Lizard Guard Cube. Crush Games today revealed Streets of Rage 4, an all-new continuation of Sega's iconic arcade brawler series, known for its radical fights, jamming 90s beats, and dashing sparring gloves and bandanas. Featuring hand-drawn visuals from the team behind 2017's gorgeous Wonder Boy, The Dragon's Trap remake, Streets of Rage 4 builds upon the classic trilogy's gameplay with new mechanics, a fresh story, and a gauntlet of dangerous stages with a serious crime problem. Streets of Rage 4 recalls classic gameplay, but it stands as an entirely original arcade-style romp thanks to the expertise of Guard Crush Games and Dotemu.
I'm in.
Yeah?
I thought the Wonder Boy remake was really cool.
I didn't play it.
I couldn't believe it. Did you see the screenshots of
it? Yeah, it looked pretty, yeah.
I couldn't believe that was like, I don't know, I haven't seen anyone do kind of like a remaster to that degree of like stylizing it in that way. So I'm like, my heart is very open for this.
I woke up this morning and rolled over and my wife's like, explain to me why everyone's freaking out about Streets of Rage. I'm like, is there a new Streets of Rage? Is there a new Streets of Rage? And she's like, yeah. And I jumped on and watched the trailer. Trailer's fantastic. This article, for some reason, didn't mention release date. So I was just scrolling really hard.
Really?
It doesn't have anything in there in terms of that either.
We're just talking about
it now. There's talk. It's just the announcement. It's coming out today.
I mean, it's cool.
My dog Nick, 96, from Massachusetts, writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Jared Petty wasn't kidding when he said we live in a world where anything can come back because Streets of motherfucking Rage 4 just got announced. I thought it was an April Fool's Day when I saw the news. I actually like the art style, despite not being that of what you would expect. I hope the series composer, thank you. Oh my God, he spelled it out. My dog Nick, so great. He sounded out. He knows how bad I am. Yuzo Koshiro returns, but I'll take what I can get. Are either of you interested in this? What no chance in hell game would you like to see return? I loved Streets of Rage 1 and 2 on Genesis back in the day.
Oh my God. Yeah, Streets of Rage, you hear the name and you're like, whoa. Yes, I remember talking about that on a school bus.
And so, yeah, for sure, when Jen was like, what? I watched the trailer, I'm like, I'm in. This is great. I'm interested and excited, and I'm, you know, a Genesis fanboy from back in the day.
Right.
I am like, man, is this going to carry water, though? Is this going to actually pan out? It's hard to make a sequel to an iconic game, let alone I am so not the, hey, this retro game's back. Like, there's certain things that I remember about those games I hated, and now trying to play them in a modern era, I'm like, I can't do it. So, like, am I going to play this and be annoyed, or will it make those conveniences? Because I remember even Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, right, when that came from Ubisoft, playing that and being like that thing of like, oh, I'm just off a little bit. Like, I have to go up in the lair and punch people. Like, oh, I hate that.
That was my one gripe about any beat 'em up was just like understanding the depth. But I think that's like the challenge of doing a remake of something like that, where it's like you don't actually have to wrestle with the real like challenges of the original one. You have to wrestle with people's expectations and what people remember about that game when they played it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, wow, I have to try to figure out what the like mind version of Streets of Rage is and do better than that one.
It's exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing how it pans out, but that's the whole thing, is like that's a tough nut to crack, take on something that beloved and come back and make it. But
I said my heart is open.
Yeah, okay, good.
I'm ready.
You're there with open arms waiting for it, hoping it all comes together.
That's how I receive all game news. My heart is open.
Good, we'll see soon. Number three, Xbox All Access has been officially revealed. This is via Nick Santangelo over at IGN. Following weeks of rumors, Xbox officially unveiled its Xbox All Access program. Xbox All Access lets consumers pay for an Xbox One X or an Xbox One S in monthly installments when they commit to 2 years of Xbox Live Gold and Xbox Game subscriptions. Game Pass subscriptions. I owe Andrea money. If I say games in Xbox Game Pass, I owe her a dollar. Okay. Essentially, an interest-free console financing plan, Xbox All Access will last for a limited time and, as earlier rumors suggested, appears to only be available in the United States. The Xbox One X bundle costs $34.99 per month for 24 months, while the Xbox One S bundle is $21.99 per month for 24 months. It's a payment structure that will be familiar to any consumer who's ever signed up for a 2-year phone plan, allowing them to pay for the phone in installments. Where it differs, however, is that Xbox All Access subscribers will actually save money off the MSRP of the product and services they're buying. This is particularly true with the Xbox One S bundle, which saves subscribers about $132 off standard retail pricing to buy the console and services separately. The Xbox One X bundle isn't anywhere near that good of a deal, but it still saves buyers about $20 off of retail pricing. Hmm. So yeah, that had been rumored for a while. Now it's officially confirmed. I think it's a cool program. You know what I mean?
I think it's tight. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like people look at buying a console as an investment.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, if you buy an Xbox, you're expecting to use it for 2 years at least.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense to say like, hey, do you want to get in the door easier? And sure. Do you want to maybe pay less? I mean,
well, it's nice. Yeah. Not to have like the, when you hear something like this, you worry about interest rates. I'd mentioned like Rent-A-Center
right,
and installments.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, but the interest rate, I'm like, I know it's different.
It's
I
not
know
a
it's
scam,
very
I
different.
Guess.
Yeah. It's not a scam. It's a way to get it in there. And there was a couple people who wrote in, like we've been having this conversation of the last few, I guess last week about the rumor of this. And then also the fact that consoles are so expensive. And it was a guy who was just like, hey, yeah, you know, I just got married. We have a kid. Like, it's hard for me to walk into a store and be like, I'm going to drop $500 on a console and controller and games and these services, whereas it is way easier to handle. Hey, I'm going to give you, $35 a month.
Right.
Not even worry about it. That's like 3 Netflix subscriptions. Great.
Yeah, because like you buy a console and then you're like, oh, awesome. I like saved up. I'm getting the console. And then, oh, you want a game?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
right.
Sorry.
Oh, there's tax. You need to know your controller, memory card, and all that stuff
sense.
As it goes. Number 4 for you. I'm going to read from it, but it's an interesting one for you. I know a lot of you have been jonesing for this. The Cyberpunk demo that we were shown at E3 is now up on YouTube with a narration you can go watch. Here is the statement from Adam Badowski, Cyberpunk game developer at CD Projekt Red and the head of the studio. Quote, what we're releasing today was recorded from a game deep in development. Since many of the assets and mechanics in the current version of Cyberpunk 2077 are most likely to be modified, we initially decided to show this gameplay only to media. Elements like gunplay, parentheses, both in terms of visuals and how RPG stats influence it, net running, car physics, or the game's UI, everything's pretty much still in the playtest phase, and we felt uneasy about publicly committing to any particular design. Animation glitches, work in progress, character facial expressions, early versions of locations, all this made us hesitant to release what you're about to see. However, we are also aware that many of you want to see what the media saw. Although this is probably not the same game you'll see on your screen when we launch, we still decided to share this 48-minute video with you. This is how Cyberpunk 2077 looks today. Let us know what you think.
Wow. I haven't seen this video yet.
I have. I saw it behind closed doors, and then I heard Joey and Andy watching it out here.
Mm-hmm.
Bravo to them. I love... Mm-hmm. This is why I think CD Projekt Red is held in such high regard. Is that they communicate to the audience as if the audience isn't stupid. You know what I mean?
It's legit.
You bought the game, you open it up, there's a thank you letter in there for buying the game. DLC will be free outside of like, you know, Blood
that
and Wine expansions.
Hit me, yeah.
Right? Like, we are gonna, they, in the same way, I think internet creators, and I shouldn't paint with a broad brush, but like, we understand our audience and we're in it with you. They're in it with you. They're making the game for you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they, you know, I can understand hemming and hawing of like, oh, should we? But let it behind the curtain. That's awesome.
Right. Yeah. No, they always feel, CD Projekt Red always feels like they're a few steps ahead of everyone else in terms of being like very upfront with their audience and saying like, hey, we're only doing this for you. This is for your benefit. So like, it's really cool to see that they're showing something that they're not even necessarily that proud of, like all the details.
Yeah.
That like that kind of vulnerability, like I was saying, just kind of that, I mean, that makes me like them even more.
For you as a developer, how do you deal with stuff like this? How, when do you share? When do you not share? When's the right time to come out?
That's a really good question because
that's what I do.
This guy's full of questions. It's tough because there are screenshots that I've put out that I feel like I put out prematurely because one of the problems with the internet is that you put out an image and in like 2012 and then in 2018 someone writes an article and uses the 2012 image.
Yeah, Google image search, Dona County, there it is, good, ready to go.
I'm just like, whoa, yeah, like that stuff doesn't go away very fast.
Yeah.
And so I think developers like me, like my friends and stuff, we're always super careful about like knowing that, okay, we're not going to change these details too much.
Sure.
Because you can't usually put a screenshot out with a little note saying like, hey, just so you
work
understand.
Work in progress. Yeah.
It's like, you know, you put out what you want people to see, right? You have control over it. So it's really cool to see an entire game that's just like, well, you know, it's got warts and all, but...
And I mean, that's the way to explain it, right? Is that you put this letter out with it, sure. 90% of the people who go and watch the video won't read the letter.
Sure.
But when they bitch in the comments or on Twitter, you hope that somebody who did read the letter is like, well, they pointed this out, and they're like, oh, sorry, cool.
Right, you know, my bad. You've like empowered your fan base to like do the talking for you.
Exactly. Which I think you gave them the talking points, right? Yeah, you gave them the information.
And people want to be the one to like share that information.
Everybody wants to be the expert, right?
Yeah, no.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Remember, if we're getting something wrong, go ahead, write in, capitalist pig. James wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I just finished watching the Cyberpunk 2077 gameplay, and of course, I loved it. But there's one thing that stood out to me. The voice acting doesn't sound quite right. I can't exactly put my finger on it, but it sounds odd. Did you guys get the same feeling, or am I just crazy? Love the show. Hope to see you in Australia again soon. You're not crazy. I remember that being one of the big takeaways we all took. But it's... We took that away leaving the Behind Closed Doors demo where they asked us on comment cards, do all this stuff, and where they also said, yeah, warts and all, it's here, right?
Okay, so wait, how did it sound weird? In what way?
It's, I mean, I haven't watched it again today. Okay. Andy, do you remember what Andy, cool, bring up the shock mic. I got number one games journalist Andy Cortez coming on in here.
Guys, I'm here on the scene.
Hold on, is it working cool, Greg?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Got all the scoops, guys. You let me know what you need.
Greg.
I did. Oh. You walked over after I asked you the question.
Why did the voices sound
weird? Remember when we left the Cyberpunk demo at E3 and we were like, oh, it was great and this is cool, but the voices didn't work exactly. I forget what we didn't like.
The voice acting is a little campy. It's very... your main sidekick is a Mexican dude. It's very, oh, hombre, yeah, let's do this. Like, it's just very... It sounds very B-movie-ish. It could be the direction they're going because they made it clear that they want their Cyberpunk universe to not be... like this super serious Blade Runner-esque world. Like they want it to be kind of like, it feels like an 80s like sci-fi movie.
It looks like, I mean, that's what I love when I left. And I mean, I know they're going to tweak and everything else, but the HUD reminded me so much of Terminator. Just like the way it was like red and the way they use the eye, that little fat eye people use, you know what I mean? Like the text, the font and all that stuff. Like,
I love that
stuff. Like I hope they lean into that. And I think that's the thing is like I got thrown into a room and nobody knows anything about this game to get this slice and it's amazing and it's huge, sure, but maybe tone-wise by the time we get there it makes more sense.
I hope that's not I mean, you still want the voice acting to be good and convincing, and that's the main feedback I left when I wrote on the message leaving that room at E3 this past year. It was like, hey, everything's incredible. Voice acting could use some work for sure.
And I think they've gotten that across the board.
It sounded the same watching it today. I didn't see or notice.
Well, I don't think they're going to make those changes that quick.
Yeah, I didn't see or notice any differences, but... I mean, yeah, it still looks incredible, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when we get that'll be something they've taken to heart, probably.
Right. Also,
or
like,
they'll prove why we needed that one.
Well, yeah, I mean, the feedback they're getting right now is probably going to affect it, because they can record the voices, like, way later in development.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're doing passes, and, like, us talking about it probably influences them a little bit.
Again, Andy over there, we used to call him the Hispanic heartthrob. So if you want him to come in and say, hey, hombre, or whatever, he'll do it. CG Project, and he'll do it.
Very authentic.
Ben. I am super excited to see if they change the voices in CD Projekt or in Cyberpunk, but it's gonna take so long to get there. I just can't wait that long. If I wanted to know something breaking right now, like say what games came to the mom and grop shop, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
You killed it, man. See? I'm so good at it now.
I got
audience.
The warning beforehand.
I'm so good at reminding people now. I used to be terrible at it. I'm good now. Out today, the season finale of The Dark Side Detective is on Switch. And that's it. It is a Monday. Not many games on Monday.
Welcome to Monday.
New dates for you. Apparently, Aragame is coming to Switch this fall. And then Daybreak put out this statement about Just Survive. After careful consideration, we've made the difficult decision to sunset Just Survive on Wednesday, October 24th at 11 a.m. Pacific time. The excitement of the game's promise was palpable and its loyal community is still full of ideas for its future. Unfortunately, we are no longer in a position to fulfill its greatness and the current population of the game makes it untenable to maintain.
R.I.P.
So you're just getting those H1Z1 modes that have taken off and people love so much, but no more Just Survive for you. Meanwhile, deals of the day for you. I didn't find anything, but Gilly Brums wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and said, hey, KFGD crew. In case you or the best friend community didn't know, August 28th is the last day you can lock in your 20% off discount on new games Amazon pre-orders from Amazon. Just wanted to throw out a friendly reminder to all the best friends looking to slap some pre-orders down now to save some money. That's right, Amazon changing all that pre-order business up there.
I got an email about it.
Yeah, sad, right?
I think so. Is that it? Is there no like replacement for?
I don't think so. No. I mean, Best Buy Gamers Club is gone. They're like, they're like, good. We don't need to worry anymore. We got no competition. Remember though, if you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime. You have a free 30-day subscription to give away on Twitch. We'd love it to be us. I'm talking to you, podcast listener, who never uses Twitch. I'm begging you. Just log in to your Amazon Prime and then you Google Twitch Prime. You link up a Twitch account and then you just come over and give us $5, please. I beg you. Right? Cool, Greg.
Yep.
Thanks. It's time for reader mail, Ben, where there's a bunch of questions for you in Donut County. But first, I'm going to tell you, it's brought to you by Hims. There's a problem. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. And when you notice it's time to do something, it's usually too late. And that's where 4hims.com comes in. A one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. You get well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. These are prescription solutions backed by science. How do I know about it? Because on the other side of that wall, Nick and Andy use it. And Andy has these gummies that he uses for the hair loss treatment. And every day, Nick tries to steal the gummies. And Andy gets very, very mad because they are for him. Yeah, but it's simple. You go to 4hims.com, you sign up, you talk to a doctor, send in photos. They tell you what you need. They send it to you. There you go. Right now, my listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See the website for details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's FORHIMS.com/gamesdaily. 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Where do I want to start with you, Mr. Esposito?
Give me the hard-hitting questions.
I'm ready.
You can't stump me.
Dan John says, you must realize that people are comparing your game, Donut County, to Katamari Damacy. That's one of those things before I worked in the games industry. You come in with how you pronounce games. And then you say it out loud, and somebody's like, did you just call Luminous Lumines? And I'm like, yeah, I did. No, Katamari Damacy. What are your thoughts on this, and how would you differentiate the game for people that haven't played it? So again, Donut County,
right.
You're a hole in the ground. You go around, eat things, you get bigger.
Right.
You eat bigger things. It does sound like Katamari.
That is like Katamari.
Okay.
And like, there was definitely some inspiration at the beginning because I've loved Katamari, and I think it's got the similar kind of joy of picking your path and like ordering which objects go in and kind of like being just on the edge of being able to get something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I think that stuff is really fun. I think my game has some similarities there, but Donut County is kind of different in that Katamari is about timing and it's about planning your path through a space to try to, you know, get as big as you can. But
yeah.
Donut County is way more about puzzles and it's also more about the story. So
sure. Yeah. As Joey was talking about that raccoon. Big story part. Yeah, yeah.
It's all about raccoons.
Yeah, yeah.
You play as a raccoon and you know, you're playing. The game is like an app where you are controlling holes, which presumably the raccoons are using to
sure.
open up holes here.
Sure.
So yeah, it's way more of a puzzle game. So you're going to get each level has like a unique, like little gimmick to it where like there's one level where you get a snake stuck in the hole and you can wiggle it around and like,
I hate my snake getting stuck in holes.
Yeah. You got an erect snake. And you have to knock stuff over. So yeah, it differs pretty hard. I would say it's a different genre of a game.
I think it might have been the IGN review, but it might have been somebody on Twitter describing it as like a Zen-like experience. Like it's like
right.
peaceful, right? You don't feel the pressure. You're there's puzzles. How do I fix this? But it's not like timer's ticking down. You're getting something in your face. Like you're freaking out.
Right. Yeah. Because I think the timer makes Katamari work as a game, but it also stressed me out a lot.
Totally. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm almost there, but I can't do it.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I have to start all over if I want to do this.
Yeah.
So I think Donut County started with like, okay, you can't fail at this. Like I tried to figure out, you know, what's a good amount of resistance and what's a good amount of like time to have the aha moment and then move on. And so that's how I built the whole game.
Where did the idea for Donut County come around?
It was a joke
originally.
Well, it was a tweet. It was a tweet actually.
Okay.
Do you know Peter Molyneux?
Yes.
Really, like the joke Peter Molyneux game.
Yeah, I do.
We did a game jam based on his joke ideas in 2012. And they were all, you know, ludicrous. Like, how would you ever make a game about that? And the one I picked was, you are a hole in the ground. And it was like, you move around to like make objects drop onto targets, something that made no sense at all.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, a hole in the ground, I could do that in a day. And then I had the beginning of it, and then I realized like, oh right, if I change the scale every time, it's actually a game and it's about picking the order of stuff. And it's also about fitting a square peg into a round hole, which is like, that's like the fun of the game. And so after that, people were like, whoa, this is kind of cool. And flash forward 6 years later.
I was going to say, six short years later.
It's like, I'm waking up from a dream now, and this game is actually real. So it's weird.
When you started on the path in like to make it into a real game, did you expect it to take that long?
My notebook says 12 months.
Oh.
I looked at it. It was going to be 12 months. I was not going to be a perfectionist about anything.
Sure. How'd that go? You became a little bit of a perfectionist about it?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would be possible, but I don't know, like, because I worked on it by myself.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're into this. We're talking about you. Your career trajectory here to get to Donut County, right? Walk me through it.
So I started in the games industry working for a company called Giant Sparrow.
Never heard of them.
Making The Unfinished Swan.
Never heard of it. Great game. Everybody should play it.
It's a cool game.
I love it so much.
And so I actually, when I was first starting out, I didn't even know if I could be a game designer or like a level designer. And so I was looking for jobs and I saw a video of The Unfinished Swan prototype that Ian Dallas did, the creator. And it was super cool. People were talking about it online and I was just like, I want to make that. And so I emailed him and then I made like a little prototype of a game being like, hey, please let me work on this game.
Sure.
And then I moved out to LA and that was like the start of my
games career.
New York.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, there's some games jobs in New York,
sure,
but the industry is pretty different. And so I knew I wanted to be anywhere but where I was.
Yeah, okay.
So I worked on The Unfinished Swan as a level designer. We shipped that and then I did that game jam.
Yeah.
I made the prototype for Donut County and then it was kind of in the background for a while. And I worked on What Remains of Edith Finch,
which is another great game.
A game you should check out. It's really cool. I did prototyping for a lot of the stories. So I was making like super quick versions of the stuff that you actually ended up playing in the game, like the mechanics.
Nice.
So I was responsible for, you can kind of separate out like the really physics-y toy ones. Those are mine. So there's like the swing set one and there's like a frog in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Like that's just what I really like to do. So
that's awesome.
I was really lucky I got to work on it in that capacity while I was working on Donut County.
Okay.
So that was happening at the same time. And then also this group called the Arcane Kids, we made a couple of games. We made Room of a Thousand Snakes.
Okay.
We made Bubsy3D.com, which you should go to that website. It's really good. And then we made a game called Sonic Dreams Collection, which is a highly regarded Sonic the Hedgehog fan game.
I remember that one.
Yeah. I'm not going to say any more about that one.
Okay, good.
But yeah, anyway, it's recently just been me working on this game. And
yeah, how long would you say you've been full time on just doing your Donut County dream?
Well, I thought I was going to go crazy, so I didn't work on it 100% full time.
Okay.
Until probably like a year and a half ago, 2 years. Everything else was like I'd spend one day working at Giant Sparrow, or I'd spend one day a week working on our King Kid stuff. And I also made a horror game called Tattletale about evil Furbies, basically, which was a really fun diversion because, like, I don't know, I couldn't look at the same game for like 6 years straight.
I bet it's hard to come back.
So it's been cool to like kind of drop off and do other projects, but like this one's always been like
the one
my albatross.
Yeah, you have to get it done. You have to get it out there.
Well, exactly. Awesome. Yeah, it's so it feels really cool to actually sit here and be like, yeah, it's done.
I want to bring in the fantastic Ian. He wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and said, working on such a big project like Donut County, what was your biggest motivator in seeing it through to the end? I know sometimes it's easier to get that coveted internet validation when you upload something regularly. So what was on your mind that kept you going in this long-term venture?
Ooh.
Thanks for the thanks a bundle. I'm so excited to try your game.
Oh, a bundle. It might be in a bundle someday. No, I started this game in 2012 when it wasn't really a big deal to just like post a Twitter video of your game and then it could blow up out of nowhere and then that's the game you're making.
Yeah.
So that wasn't even on my mind when I started. I just knew like, oh, I have some cool idea. Like the art style works with it. People have responded pretty well. And so when I went into making this game, it wasn't like, oh, I know this is going to be a big meme or whatever.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of games that started with that and they're really cool. But this game was totally like, I started it and I wanted to do it by myself. And I mostly did that. I did get help from various sources, but I knew I was never going to quit.
Yeah.
I could have quit maybe, sure. But in the back of my head, I was like, no, this is like my opportunity. Like I felt really lucky, right? Because I was like, I had some money that I could use to work on this game full time. There were people who were interested in like making sure it happened and helping out when possible. And a lot of my friends who are indie devs in LA like really supported the my journey.
I like how you were. What's the word choice for this?
Yes, they told me it was going to be okay. And so yeah, no, it was like I made a bet to myself. I was like, awesome. I bet you can do this.
Yeah,
and that was it. So it was hard to stay on track, but I knew I was always going to like hit the finish line eventually.
Zaire writes in the same vein for kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hey Greg and Ben, I am someone who wants to become a video game developer, but don't know where to begin. My question to Ben is, what inspired you to make video games and what pointers do you have to someone that's trying to become a video game developer?"
Okay. What inspired you to make video games? I always wanted to make video games.
Yeah.
I knew. I have notebooks. Okay, I have these notebooks from elementary school where I filled an entire notebook with like a choose your own adventure haunted house.
Yeah.
And there's no way to win. You die no matter what. because I was obsessed with like the idea of having choices. And I remember when I was first learning how to read, I used to have these choose your own adventure books that I would bring into class for reading time, sure. Like the Goosebumps ones. And I remember my mom got a call because the teacher was concerned about me. And she's like, "I don't think Ben knows how to read because he keeps flipping back and forth through the book to the different pages." And I was like, no, you don't understand.
No, I know how to read.
This is advanced reading.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
so,
yeah.
That's cool. I always wanted to build stuff like that. And so I guess my advice, if you actually want to become a developer, if you want to do it professionally, is you have to start making the smallest thing that you can right now.
Sure.
Because I didn't realize this until I got to the end of this, of the process of making this game, that like nobody can tell you all the answers or no one can tell you what to do in every situation. So like someone tells me, "Hey, you have to do this thing for PS4 to make it release." And I say, "Oh, well, how do you do that?" And they're like, "I don't know, look it up." and I was just like, it was a process of being like, "Oh, right, I can just look all this stuff up on my own and teach myself what I need to know." Yeah. So I think my advice for starting out is start as small as you can, because the thing that's going to help you the most in learning video games is to be finishing stuff, because that's going to give you the motivation to do a little bit bigger next time. So I would start with something that feels too small for you to do, and that will be extremely hard for you to get done. And when you do, you'll feel great.
That's good advice right there. Look at that.
That's what worked for me.
Austin has the final Ben-specific question. He wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "For a small indie title like yours, what was the process like to get that game a platinum trophy? I know Greg has talked about it before, but curious what the talks were like for you. Thanks and keep up the good work." Here's the thing, Ben. You're in this indie circle.
Mm-hmm.
It's you, the Hyperlight people, you're all over there just making. I know you know. Oh, I know you know them all. You're over there all hanging out. Mm-hmm. You get it. Your game has a platinum. Congratulations. You need to preach the word to every indie mega booth person, everybody out there. Mm-hmm. Have a platinum fucking trophy in your game. Because when your game comes out with no platinum trophy, we get mad. And I've been told all you have to do is ask. But did they give you grief? Did they say, "Here you go"?
So I wasn't 100% part of this discussion because this. So Annapurna is the publisher for Rona County, and a lot of them have worked for Sony in the past.
Deb Mars is over there. Brilliant Deb Mars, woman.
The best.
Yeah.
And so they have that connection with Sony from the beginning.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about what consoles to put Donut County on. We were talking to different people, and PlayStation was really excited about it.
Yeah.
And part of that discussion was just like, okay, well, if you're really excited about it, maybe we want to, let's make a deal with each other. And one of the things we wanted was a platinum trophy, and they were cool with giving us a platinum trophy. And the funny story is that there's like a PSX trailer that we made where we, in the trailer, there's like two raccoons. There's like a gamer raccoon and the other raccoon is actually playing. And the gamer raccoon asks like, "Is there a platinum trophy?" And the original question was, "Is there an easy platinum trophy?"
Yeah.
And we got a note back from PlayStation saying, "Please don't say easy platinum."
Please don't say that.
There is no easy platinum.
But is it easy? Is it pretty easy?
The game's 2 hours long.
I know, right? Can I get in one playthrough? Do I need a guide? Can I just go through?
You can't do it on the first try.
Okay.
You need to have a little eye toward... You need to have a little trophy glint in your eye.
I definitely have that. Everyone knows I have that.
So yeah, thank you for letting me have that platinum trophy.
Ben, Donut County is out tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes.
What are the platforms? We haven't done that. We've talked a lot about you and Choose Your Own Adventure books. We haven't done the part of actually pimping your game.
Okay, so it's on a lot of stuff. It's on PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a theme you can get with that. There's like a pre-order theme. You can also buy it after the fact. It's on iOS, so it's iPad, iPhone. It's on the Mac App Store. It's on Steam, Mac, and PC. And it's also going to be on GOG.com. So if you don't like DRM, it's going to be available there as well.
Great. Yeah. Well, congratulations on getting it out, man.
Thanks a lot.
That's awesome. Now get working on your next six-year-long game. Kevin! Is Kevin still here? No, he's not. Oh, that son of a bitch. He said he would come in and answer this question. You're telling me he left Cool Greg? Yeah, he went to get Hawaiian barbecue. That's why he's not doing his job of answering Brandon's question. Brandon, I'll save this question. I'm sorry you have to put up with this. I'm sorry that Kevin likes Hawaiian barbecue more than you, Brandon. Sorry, instead, Brandon. We'll jump to JBR, frequent contributor that we haven't seen in a while. JBR says, hey, Greg and Ben. Last week, Jared was talking about the cost of how much video games cost to make. If video games are going to make a profit, how are we ever going to expect to get more games in the future if nobody wants to pay $60? I love Naughty Dog and From Software, and you bet your ass that I'm going to pay $60 for The Last of Us Part 2 and Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice. Spider-Man and Shadow of the Tomb Raider will also earn my money. These developers have earned my love and respect, and the way we reward them is through our hard-earned cash. I don't know how this relates to you guys seeing as you get your games for free, but I'd love to hear your thoughts and advice to people who are reluctant to spend $60.
Ooh.
We've been talking about Xbox Game Pass, mm-hmm. and Games with Gold, you know, PlayStation Plus. PlayStation Plus, I mean, I would say probably 6 months in, it became the thing of like, maybe I'll wait on buying this game. Seems like it might be a PlayStation Plus game.
Right,
down the
yeah,
line,
you start
right?
thinking that way.
Right. We talk about then the race to the bottom and this, that, free to play, microtransactions. You know, you've seen it all, right?
Right. A little scary.
Do you as a developer, do you worry about this?
I do a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty small scale, like sure. all things considered. So, you know, my games are pretty affordable because, you know, they're short, they're not of the same genre as other games. But especially on mobile, like I'm releasing on iOS, there's a huge free to play market and yeah. those games aren't necessarily good, but yeah. they are free. And so, you see that kind of that audience grow and grow and grow because it's so easy for them to kind of just say like scoop people up from Instagram or whatever.
Right.
And they start downloading the game. So it's like, it's a little bit concerning, but I do see some platforms trying to move the needle the other way and promote more like premium games.
Sure.
So personally, I'm not super afraid of it, but it's definitely something that feels like
it's such a double-edged sword, I feel, where I feel the overwhelming majority of people, if you're hardcore video game person enough to watch Kind of Funny Games Daily or listen, you're not like, well, I'm usually waiting. There might be a game that, sure. you know, reviews on IGN as a high 6, low 7, where you're like, meh, what, you know, yeah, maybe I'll wait for that, maybe I'll see it out. But I feel like you're willing and able to fork over the cash. And so then the hope would be that free-to-play Fortnite, you know what I mean? Somebody plays that at their friend's house, they like it, they get a console, they get a Switch, they get a whatever. They just for Fortnite, over time, it wears them down. And not, I'm talking about like a single percentage point here. Wears
sure,
them
yeah,
down
yeah.
to then go buy another game out of the eShop and bring them in and understand how this works.
Right,
hopefully.
Like it's a foot in the, it could be a foot in the
exactly.
door for some people.
And that, yeah. because, I mean, this was always the story with the Wii, right? Of like, the Wii sold like gangbusters, but the attach rate was terrible. Where like my mom bought a Wii and she had Wii Sports and she had her horse game and then she bought my stepdad a plane game and that was the end of it.
Damn.
You know what I mean? They never had another game they bought for their Wii.
Some people thought Wii Sports was the only game.
Exactly, right? They thought it was a Wii Sports machine and I get Netflix on it too. Cool.
Oh yeah.
Like there's pros and cons to it all, but I think the majority of people understand it. But we were having conversations, you know, about somebody was showing, I think, PlayStation VR to their friends or whatever, and somebody, or no, maybe it was something. It wasn't as involved as VR, but showing something to someone on a console, like, this is awesome. How much is it if I wanted to get this? And you sticker shock again, right?
Right.
When Xbox is fighting and stuff. So I think it goes both ways. How do you convince somebody? I don't think we need to preach that word. I think most people know $6 is worth it. So.
If you're, yeah, right. And it's like, it's been $60 for a long time now.
Yeah.
Too. And it's like, I think people understand like the value they get out of big games, especially like there's more and more stuff. I mean, it's easy to complain about like stuff being considered DLC and you have to pay for more stuff. Like any, you know, there's like going to be more subscription stuff probably in the future, sure. even for a paid game.
Yeah.
But I think like JBR mentioned, like if you're watching this, if you're a gamer, like you totally get it. And you know that when you buy something, that's like a vote of confidence, right?
Yep.
And so you just hope that they like deliver on that promise that they made to you.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like that 2012 screenshot. Ben, it's time to squad up. And this is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, John Edvard Genius, parentheses, yes, that's my real name.
That's awesome.
Writes in needing help on Switch, but wants you to contact him on Twitter. He can be found on Twitter at GenieDude. GENIDUDE. GenieDude says, I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. To fight the best friends is my real test. To beat them is my cause. Don't try to come back in here, Kevin, like you're going to answer the question. Brandon knows you went to get Hawaiian barbecue. Now you don't get to hear his question for you. That's right. I'm going to prove that I'm the best Pokemon trainer there is. Where, you ask? Pokken Tournament for the Switch. Is this kind of cheating because it's a very small number of people who play that game? Perhaps. But I'll still prove that I am the one and only Pokemon Master. Thanks for creating a great podcast that helped me and keep me company every day. I love y'all. Greetings from a nerdy Norwegian. And throw a Pokeball at that chicken. If you want to play Pokken Tournament, that's how you say it. Pokken Tournament? Pokken, I don't know, you dorks. You go to, you hit up on Twitter, Genie Dude. I'll be getting my platinum trophies. What, Kevin?
What was Brandon's question?
I'm not going to say it. Just now you'll never me. Get to. No.
Just tell me.
No, you missed it. You weren't here.
You were listening.
The show moved on. We didn't even do it.
We didn't even.
We yelled for you. I jumped off my trapeze, waiting for you to grab me.
Trapeze.
Oh. Yeah, like the Graysons. Yeah, remember the flying Graysons?
Is that what the stick with the rope on?
Yeah,
is?
That's right. Yeah, trapeze.
Interesting. So, what was his question?
Yeah, I'm not gonna tell you.
Just tell me.
No, I'm not gonna tell you.
What was it about? At least
it's about Jared Petty.
Oh shit! Oh,
all right, now I'll tell you. Brandon wrote in and said, "Hey, I'll read the whole thing." Brandon says, "Hey, Kind of Funny Games Daily crew. I just discovered Games Daily about a month and a half ago, and I am hooked. I'm a delivery driver, and it gets me through the boring points of my job. So thank you very much. This one's for you, Kevin.
Yep.
If you were kidnapped Saw style, and the only way to escape was to beat the Reverend Jared Petty (parentheses alleged scholar of all things old and outdated end parentheses) at a retro game, what would be the game of choice and why? Knowing that Jared claims to not be good at games at all, I feel like this would be a fair matchup. Open a can of whoop ass and beat that chicken tender. Jesus. Ooh. Love always, a fan forever.
Man.
What? If you had to go...
See, I think I'd claw the eyes first and then any game, you know?
Oh, wow. That's how you do it. Yeah. Right, okay.
I don't know. I'm really bad at games as well.
But here's
well.
My thing. You play Tetris all the time. You claim you could beat me at Tetris.
Could you do it? We've played Tetris
and
together.
I beat you.
It went back and forth.
Well, we did best out of three and I won.
I don't think that's true.
We went to a decisive game three. Big deal.
Well, that's not true at all. You're just making stuff up.
I remember in the airport, Sean Finnegan was next to us.
We played like five games. Yeah, it was the day we were going to my bachelor party.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I say Tetris.
Yeah,
Tetris.
That's actually a good call. Thank you very much.
I got you, buddy. Go enjoy your Hawaiian barbecue.
Already ate it. It was good.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'll tell you.
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no. I almost forgot the you're wrong part. Oof, that would have been bad. You know what I mean?
No, you
if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we tell you to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screwed up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunny and listening on podcast services around the globe. Lord of Pwn wanted to add this to the story about the Madden stuff. He says, just a thing to add. Joey, the Cooler, the head honcho of Evo, issued this statement regarding event security. While Evo does not comment on security procedures for obvious reasons, it's very clear that we need to be more proactive for 2019 and beyond. The amount of undercover law enforcement at Evo was unprecedented, and we will be hold on. It's that thing where the comment's too long for the field.
Oh, no.
We will be installing metal detector for all days next year. So there you go.
Oh, that's cool.
I think you're going to see more of that. More people
trying to be more transparent about what they're going to do.
Dennis writes in and says, seems to be .emu or .emu. It's stylized as .emu. That thing where I was like, this is French. How do we say
There's only one word though.
.mu. Yeah, but like it's intercapped. You know what I mean? But like it didn't look intercapped in what I was reading.
I see. Yeah, no, we had the French version.
Oh, this is funny. This don't answer. You can answer if you want. Chitty Chat Chat says, question for Ben Esposito. How often does your name get confused with Desposito? I asked Siri to Google Ben Esposito, and she started playing the song Desposito instead.
I mean, that's not too bad. It in the last few years, yeah, it's coming up.
Huge Baby Dork Zyger says, Greg said Pokin right the first time. Pokin, thank
Pokin.
You. Pokin? Yeah, Pokin Tournament.
Pokin.
All right, that was it. That's a pretty clean episode. I don't mind saying it myself. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD. Remember, watch it live. Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. Watch it later. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. Ben Esposito, you are a delight and a treasure. You are welcome here anytime. Donut County, out tomorrow.
Out tomorrow.
All the platforms, again, are PlayStation. Well, let me try. PlayStation 4. Mobile. iOS only?
iOS only.
Okay, so PlayStation
now.
4, iOS. PC. Mac. You said eventually on GOG?
It's going to launch on GOG.
Oh, it's going to launch on GOG too. And that's it. For right
Steam,
now.
Steam, Mac, and PC.
For right now. Yeah. Wink.
We'll see.
Who knows what happens down the line? Just like everything else. You know what I mean? That Switch seems to be a gold mine. You know what I'm saying?
All I'm saying is that I personally enjoy the Switch.
Okay, good. Okay,
I play games on it.
Okay, good.
Like Pokken Tournament.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you. Give me a handshake.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.